I'm Spencer, and I work at United Healthcare.
So, Spencer, why do you care?
I care because my daughter, Adeline, has special needs. I am motivated by Adeline, who inspires me every day. I am driven to help families like mine navigate the healthcare system.
I'm so blessed to lead an amazing team at United Healthcare, focusing on the member experience and making that better.
I'm Spencer, and I'm committed to care.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
You hear them on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Dinan Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it, 7 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Maury, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, all with you this morning. We're joined by Dinan Hughes in just a bit, talking all things Trent McDuffie, Kansas City Chiefs, what it does for the future with this team moving forward. I think the narrative of this trade is as obvious as it is. It hurts, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it hurts and makes sense. I mean, when you think about it, like Royals trades, right? Everybody was pissed off about, not like pissed, but pissed off about the trade of Zach Greinke. What did we get in return? The start of a great thing to build the championship team. Mm. Then they traded Will Myers. People were like pissed about that as well. Oh my God, how can we trade Will Myers? Well, we got James Shields. We got Wade Davis, and the rest is history. You've got to make these trades to allow your organizations to grow and to kind of take that next step. And those were beautiful moves by the Royals that were met with a lot of criticism. And the Tyreek Hill trade that was, you know, made by the Chiefs earlier, this century, was met with a lot of criticism by a lot of fans. I think when fans complain about the trade of players that they know, they're afraid of the unknown. And I don't think that's necessarily the case, Dusty, that I'm gathering with this Trent McDuffie thing. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like there's really a high percentage of Chiefs fans that are upset about this. And that's a good thing. I think most Chiefs fans understand that this was the right move for the overall health of the organization, not for the here and now, but the overall health. And you have to have that vision and be convicted as a general manager to go out there and make those trades. And Brett Veach did that. And Dayton Moore did that as well when they were trading players that everybody was coveting in the minor league system.
Joined now by our guy, the color commentator in the Chiefs Radio Network booth, Dinan Hughes. Dinan, we'll start right off here. I think the narrative of this trade is it's sad, but it makes sense, right? Like, this is a business, and unfortunately, sometimes you see good dudes go away.
Yeah, definitely. And we've seen this happen before here in Kansas City, and you kind of understand it. I will say personally, there's some disappointment, or I should say some extra disappointment, because I believe that Trent McDuffie has been the ultimate professional. And I say that from an insider view and outsider, just being a guy to watch him and how he moves. We don't hear about anything in the off the field, in the community, that's negative, personal life or anything like that. Any craziness from extended family. I mean, everything that you would want, not just a first round draft pick to be, but just any player on the roster to be, I believe he's been. As far as being his professionality in the locker room or professionalism, he has been exceptional. Every time I wanted an interview, every time I needed, to talk to a player post game, win or lose, he was always available, always very personable at charitable events, et cetera. So, for me personally, I love to see that. As a former player, where guys just get it. They understand their role completely. They understand, the position that they're in, and they do it to the best of their ability on and off the field. So hopefully some of that will rub off on some of the other guys that may not be at that level, but yeah, he will definitely be missed in that locker room.
All right, Dana, now the question comes, like, what do you want to see them do next? What's the next big move that this organization needs to make, in your opinion?
Man, you know what, Bob? This is an interesting time, because every single year, I would say at least for the last 8 years, I always said it was a luxury that we went into the offseason and didn't have any specific places to fill. Like, you had to go into the offseason and we desperately needed this position or that position. It always seemed like we just needed depth. We just needed another body. We could use, you know, any player or a certain position, but it was never like other teams where, you know, we see the Bears, they need a receiver, they needed a quarterback, or you can go through the list of teams around the NFL. This is one of the first years that I can remember that, like, we got to be calculated. Like we have to be put ourselves in a position to get players, maybe because we didn't go to the playoffs this year, maybe because of how the season ended, the disappointing factors that were involved, that now we're, I wouldn't say we're in desperation mode, but we're definitely in a different mode than I think we've become accustomed to seeing over almost the last decade. So, yeah, I'd like to see a taller receiver. I'm still going to, you know, be on that mountain. I think we need bigger bodies. That's what you're seeing around the league at that wide receiver position, where you can exploit cornerbacks outside the numbers and not just across the field and trying to utilize the speed there. And now we need a corner that we can have confidence in, that whether he can play inside or outside. I think Noel Williams has shown at least the ability to fight for that opposite corner position. But in this league and the way offenses are put together and how they're going to attack us, even in our division, we need to get another corner that can go out there and at least garner enough confidence from Spags and Coach Reed that we won't have a problem out there when we face these big wide receivers around the NFL. So, yeah, I'm going to lean on the offense first with the wide receiver and then the defense at defensive back. And then I still want to see something on the interior of the defensive line. I mean, we talk about copycat leagues, and what we're seeing is dominance on the interior that are helping defenses be more proficient. We've seen that with the Denver Broncos in our own division. We've seen that with the Houston Texans. You saw some dominance. Obviously, we experienced it firsthand with teams like the Philadelphia Eagles in past years. And that seems to be the trend around the league. Get dominance up front in your front four defensively, and then maybe you can cover some deficiencies or not all pro type of ability in the back end with that dominance up front. So we got our hands full. You know, we're going to have to really dial in, but I believe, and I listened to you guys yesterday, and I listen to you guys all the time, but I think, you know, we always talk about during this time of the year, in Brett Veach we trust, and then how far does that extend? And he hasn't let us down. Like, regardless of what some people might want to say, you know, there are teams, 31 other teams that would love to have had the successes that we've had under Brett Veach. And we're just going to be back in that boat again.
So, speaking of Brett Veach, he gives you his, I'd say he's probably got a platinum American Express standing. I feel like he's probably made that status in life. He says, Mr. Hughes, here's my card. You have the ability to go sign any free agent out there right now to put on this team next year. And Dana, you know, you want that big, tall tree receiver. There's a few of those daddies out there, my man.
Man, yeah. Start naming some. And I guess, you know, would they be a fit? For me, I haven't really looked. Do I have to use a lot of the balance on the card?
You free range.
I guess if I don't have to use a lot of the availability on the card, I think that would be a guy I would go get. Part of the reason is I think when you look at this wide receiver room, it's void of that leader, that one guy that can be the voice outside of the wide receiver coach. And I know that we've upgraded at that coaching position, but as a former player, I know that there's only but so much a coach can do. There's got to be players that are willing to be the leaders, some of them willing to be the bad guy in that locker room or in that meeting room, in that position group. And I feel like Mike Evans, he comes in with that Hall of Fame, resume. And just like we saw with DeAndre Hopkins and what he was able to do and impact the wide receiver room and and more professionalism. I think he would do that as well. And that might cost you a little bit more than maybe what his ability is, just to be able to have that presence in the locker room, somebody that's going to buy into the offense, buy into what's being taught, and then everybody else has to kind of fall in line. And I think that's what's necessary. What I've seen from this wide receiver crew is not necessarily the level of play and commitment and attention to detail that I think is necessary. And I think that's going to change. So Mike Evans could be that guy.
What about the running back position, Danan?
I don't have a problem with looking in the draft for a running back. And here's why. And I mentioned about the copycat league. And when you talk about copycat league, I think the general thought is, oh, the definition of that is what other teams are doing that's successful is going to permeate throughout the NFL to other teams, whatever it is, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, the mobility, what he's shown early in his career, then other teams are trying to get that kind of quarterback or that kind of play from defenses. Copycat can also be internally. So what we've seen is the ability to be a proficient offense, maybe not a dominant run offense, but a proficient offense without having to use a lot of money at that running back position. What we've seen from Andy Reid is that he hasn't been that one bell cow guy, even going back to his Eagles days. Like they always had good running backs, but there was always a 1-2 punch. And we've seen that with the successes that we've had here in Kansas City. So like I like Jeremiah Love. I don't know if I like him at number 9 yet. I'm still kind of thinking about that a little bit more, but I don't think that you go out and break the bank for a Kenneth Walker or Travis Etienne or whatever. I'm just not sure yet if that is absolutely necessary. Now, if it happens, I'll embrace it, but I don't know if it's absolutely necessary yet. And if we can find somebody in a second, third round at that running back position, we already shown that we can turn a seventh rounder into a Super Bowl champion and a solid offensive threat. So why not think that we can do it again?
No doubt. Danan, stay awesome, my man. Stay the way you are because it's perfect. And we'll reach out to you here shortly because I'm sure there'll be more and more coming in the next 4 days because free agency is getting ready to start too, brother.
I'm Brian. I work at UnitedHealthcare.
So, Brian, why do you care?
I care because I don't want to leave anybody behind. I oversee one of the biggest resource centers in UnitedHealthcare. I see people walked in my office every day, just like my parents. They have no idea about the healthcare. I feel like they are my uncles, aunties. I treat these people like family. I'm Brian, and I'm committed to care.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas.
That is Nate Taylor there from local to national. We go to Ben Maller next on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
I'm Brian. I work at UnitedHealthcare.
So, Brian, why do you care?
I care because I don't want to leave anybody behind. I oversee one of the biggest resource centers in UnitedHealthcare. I see people walked in my office every day, just like my parents. They have no idea about the healthcare. I feel like they are my uncles, aunties. I treat these people like family. I'm Brian, and I'm committed to care.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.